and management there. Have you met the owner? I hear he is allowing businesses to set up for a beastly amount of money, but I would still go.
Where did you hear that from? Dale thought he was being fair to people.
Members of the Mage Guild eat here regularly. Some of them were the first through the portal, and they came here with their gossip, she proudly announced. I hear that the landowner is even making the church pay a tithe to him. Then he refused the services of the Portal Guild until they gave in to his outrageous demands. Bet you didn't know that, did you?
She finished a bit smugly. No. No, I didn't, Dale dejectedly replied.
I've met him, and I think he was being more than reasonable, madame. The mages tried to browbeat him into submission, and the church offered up a small percentage of its profits for prime realty. Hans admonished her. In the end, they both got fair deals based on what they could pay.
Oh, so you actually do know him, then? Do you think he would welcome the idea of a pleasure house in the area?
Madame inquired, not seeming to notice Dale's introspective look.
Or a team that would allow a young lady to train with them?
He'd go for the restaurant if you fed him and offered a fair deal, Dale muttered hollowly. I don't know any teams but my own, so...
Hans cut in darkly.
Madame, you know that to get on a guild team, you need to be in the guild. I wouldn't trust another team with the proper care of a lady in a place where there are ways to make a body disappear without worry, in a way no one will question.
You are right, of course. I'll start with the dining house, then. Who is in charge there right now? Geoffrey?
Madame seemed to understand that these two wanted to be left alone, so tried to hurry the conversation along.
Frank, Dale droned monotonously, all happy thoughts of food long past.
Well, that'll make this easy, then, she laughed. He can't resist me at all, and the landowner will assuredly want good food available for his tenants.
I'm sure he will, Dale mumbled, earning an elbow to the ribs and a glare from Hans. As Madame walked away, Hans turned curiously to the usually cheerful young man.
Dale, what is the matter with you?
Does everyone think so poorly of me?
Dale blatantly questioned him. Hans eyed him, finally deciding not to lie.
Only those who don't know the facts, or you, he admitted reluctantly.
Dale looked at the ceiling and exhaled noisily.
So... Everyone.
Lad, most people don't know you are the landowner, but are still jealous that you make it into the dungeon every day when they get in maybe once a week. Others see your fine armor, not the man inside it, and covet that. People are always unhappy with those that have better fortune than them. You'll be fine, just give it time. The portal being open will let everyone get around much easier. That should relieve tensions quite a bit. After all, people can show up on their scheduled day to train, not just sit around on their thumbs feeling sorry for themselves, Hans lectured, trying to force Dale out of his funk. Now pay this tab. All that advice isn't free, after all.
Dale nearly choked as he noticed the amount on the bill.
You're out of your mind! Hell no!
Cal.
Okay, Cal. That was amazing. I didn't think the inverse of the rune would be that effective.
Danny was looking at the bubbling, hissing crater that was all that remained to show a group had been standing there recently. I was still basking in the glorious flood of essence that had filled me.
Hmm?
I thought at her languorously, sipping delicately at the essence storming around me. Her words clicked after a second.
Well, you should have.
Have I ever given you a reason to doubt my amazingness? For some reason, there had been a short period of time where no one was entering my influence. It had coincided with what sounded like a thunderstorm overhead, though the sky was clear from what I could see. In that short window of opportunity, I was able to make some hasty changes, including a new trap.
Well, I wouldn't have thought of it. That was a really ingenious trap.
Danny praised me, playing to my ego.
Thanks. It made sense to me,
Most people will try to avoid boiling acid, you know? I chuckled with her. The trap was a bridge in the tunnel system that had to be crossed. On the bridge was a series of runes across it that pushed the acid away and held the acid suspended to the sides of the bridge. If someone stepped directly on one specific pressure-sensitive pattern at the midpoint between the acid walls, the stone the runes were on would flip, and the corrupted core would then pass its energy to the inverted rune. I was rather happy to have found a use for my water corruption cores. When the inverted rune was powered, the suspended acid sloshed across the entire structure, flooding it instantly. The runes were nearly indestructible when filled with corruption, as far as I could tell, and so I was able to easily regrow the bridge around those runes when it was destroyed, as I did now. Sadly, the fallen group of adventurers had only standard gear compared to what I had been seeing, nothing magical, and nothing fancy. Just plain, boring metal and leather. Woe is me, that those I slay cannot be more financially stable. These ones had health potions, though, which was surprising given that most of the people who take serious injuries here die. Someone was making a fortune on people who would never get a chance to drink the potions. Really, that is a good point. Was I getting too dangerous? Almost everyone who got hurt died nowadays. I felt that this was a good way to get overpowered people in here fast. I needed to start throwing the lower-level guys a handout, or they would stop coming. How best to do this? I turned to my best source of ideas, Danny. Danny, should we give out some more freebies? I was proud that I was using this word for the first time. It was fun to say. Freebies. Ha! I feel like the wheat groups are grumbling a lot.
What about the iron mining? That seems to calm them down a bit.
She querulously put forward. It was a literal sore spot. The chipping away of iron constantly gave me the equivalent of a headache. I'd rather not make more of those mining areas. How about potions? I can make them really easily. How about I make a cistern that has health potions flowing in them? Maybe that light potion I got, too. I offered a few concepts floating around in my mind. She considered for a moment.
Not a bad idea. But then the apothecary up there will go out of business. Leave, and there will be at least one less person you get a chance to eat. Oh, how about adding some gemstones to the iron every once in a while?
I ventured a solution. I can add those. I have so many different kinds from jewelry people wear in. What if I made a few of these cisterns, but poisoned them randomly? Then no one would feel safe using them without going to him first. He would get work, and I wouldn't have his half-rate potions to throw away.
That sounds good,
she pondered thoughtfully.
Might even get a few people to willingly drink poison.
Ha! I like it! Let's put the health one on the first floor right before the boss room and the light one in a dead end on the second floor. That may convince people that it is the way to get into the boss room with all the light it'll give off.
Diabolic! That is a spectacular idea!
She was so excited that she was merrily glowing, and neither of us saw the look of greed cross the face of the man stealthily watching from above. No one in the area had seen her before now. Hey, someone has passed the last trap down here. Ready for a fight?
You know it, Cal!
Danny joyously bubbled. She returned to invisibility, getting ready for the show. A 5-man group hesitantly walked in, surprising me with their low levels. Only one was out of the F ranking, and he was a low D rank. For the first group to get here, outside of Dale's, to be so low ranked astonished me. Well, free food and all that, I supposed. Beggars and choosers and whatnot. I took direct control of Rail, wasting no time charging at them as quietly as possible.
There it is! A panicking voice shrieked.
Why is it so big?
Yelled another.
It didn't look nearly this big from above.
Just get ready.
Another yell from above alerted me that people had noticed a fight starting and were scrambling to make bets. Cheering filtering down gave the group determination as they dived to get out of the way of my charging boss. One dived a second too late, and Rail's armored paw, as large as a small bear's, crushed the bones beneath himself and the floor, grinding the now shattered leg into the granite floor. The man's scream resounded in the enclosed space, and the cheering abruptly cut off. They must have realized they were about to see someone die. A first for the boss room. The show became a whole new event, as people prepared themselves to witness death firsthand. The other group members sprang to their fallen friend's aid, valiantly and pointlessly charging. I ignored the downed man. He had no ranged weapons that I could see. His screams would do more damage to the group than his death would. Making directly for the rest of the group, Rail sprang upward and came to the earth with a thunderous clap of stone-striking flesh. One of the men had shoved the other out of the way, taking the entire weight of Rail's body himself and dying silently. Rail nearly slipped as he regained his footing, blood and gore oozing from the underside of his armor as he turned to attack again. The furious men now got as close as they could, beating on Rail with flanged maces and armor-shattering warhammers. They had certainly brought the correct tools for fighting Rail. Even so, the damage they did was surprising, especially for such a small, weak group. I thought for a moment, realizing they were attacking in fury, their pulped friend driving them to become enraged. As Rail moved to jump again, a lucky swing from a warhammer hit the joint of his knee just before he pounced. The jump interrupted, Rail flopped down, kneecap broken. Still dangerous, but far less limber, he squealed and ran at another man, clipping him with his charge. Oof! Was all I heard over the crash of armor and the wet tearing of skin as bone became visible from the inside of my victim's chest. He spun mostly out of the way of the attack, falling to his knees as he wheezed for breath with broken ribs. Another mace crashed down, taking out the mobility of my, Rail's, back legs this time. Rail pulled himself along as the teammates, those able to do so, cheered. Cockily, one walked around to the front of a very slow-moving Rail and raised his mace to start trying to break through his armor. After a few hard hits, Rail flopped down, stunned, as the granite chipped and cracked. The attack broke off for a moment as the man caught his breath. He wiped his brow, smiling and laughing, obscuring his vision just long enough for a golden streak to reach Rail and boop him on the nose. A scream too high-pitched for the humans to hear went through Rail as his legs twisted, mending his bones. His head stopped ringing, his torn muscles healed, and he leapt at the man in front of him, bearing him to the ground. There was not much power to the attack, as he had not had time to build momentum, but that mattered little as the man's body caved in under Rail. The man weakly tried to strike him, failing as a rush of essence flowing to me signaled the man had been killed. Triumphant, I turned Rail's head to look for more adversaries as the pointed end of a warhammer smashed down onto the cracked armor on Rail's head, crushing through it and into his brain. Ah! I shrieked silently. Luckily, the mind speak that I used wasn't audible, else I'd have given myself away. I did not see that coming. It came out of nowhere. Whoa! Danny silently comforted me as the men rolled Rail away from their fallen comrade. Very respectfully, the ambulatory members lay him against the wall and moved to collect their other fallen comrade. They walked to where he had been obliterated, but I had finished absorbing him by then. They looked confused, then horrified, as they turned to rush back to the man they had placed by the wall. "Too late," I silently burped. The men were entirely destroyed as a group. The ones not openly weeping were staring stony-faced at the somber spectators above them. Their audience had a few intermixed who were swapping silver, and the adventurers below quickly grew furious.
"They made this fight look so easy! Not once were they seriously hurt!"
One was raging.
"I'm gonna make sure everyone knows this fight is ridiculous! No one will ever bother coming down here again!"
Well, we can't have that, I thought. Time to distribute some loot. I figured since these guys were low-ranked, it would be fair to give them a way bigger reward than Dale's group earned. I bet that would stop the cries of anger. A rain of items fell around Rail, catching the men off guard and making them startle badly. Heh. Gotta have fun somehow, right? I dropped a massive warhammer with an inscription at each end, both powered by essence they would have to provide at the hilt. The rune near the hilt allowed the hammer to be near weightless, while the one at the top made the force of the swing be multiplied many times over. If they could use that in a fight correctly, it could shatter Rail's armor like glass. In a sneaky move, I had also placed the binding sight directly under the activation. Whoever used it would be the only one who could, until that owner died at least. I dropped one boot, which had a perfect liquid repulsion rune, which I bet would become very popular when people found out about the acid trap. The rune was large enough to have an area of effect that surrounded the person wearing it. They could jump in a lake without getting damp. On a whim, I also gave them a sword with the sharpening augmentation. Inside of it, I placed a low-powered beast core that would be able to hold a charge from the activator, allowing them to use it freely in combat if they charged it beforehand. That ought to do it. They looked at the loot uncomprehendingly, so I dropped 3 extra large pieces of gold. That shook them out of their reverie, and looks of joy replaced the bitter anger on their faces. They were still grieving, but could sell these items for enough to live in comfort for the rest of their lives if they stopped being cultivators. The man who had killed Rail picked up the warhammer, and in a decidedly stupid act, activated the rune. The oversized hammer suddenly light in his hands, he nearly stumbled. He took a few swings, one-handed, to the amazement of all onlookers. Then, grinning darkly, he swung as hard as he could at the corpse of Rail, which shattered into hundreds of shards. One of those shards flew into the head of his teammate on the ground with a broken leg, killing him near instantly. Oh, yeah! That had worked out so well. The energy joined my spiral, pushing me over the edge into the 3rd rank of the D-Series. I had not been paying attention to how close I was, so the sudden expansion of my power surprised me.
Oh, no! No, no!
The warhammer-wielding man cried as he dropped to his knees next to his impaled friend, openly weeping. The last remaining man gathered the loot, and slowly the two ascended the stairs together, taking strength in their friendship and survival, despite the horrible cost. They opened the door at the top, to condolences and cheers. I turned in contemplation toward Danny.
So, where should we put the cisterns for those potions? Or should we make fountains instead?
Dale. A lazy day in the capital was just what Dale had needed. A vacation from the dungeon, no matter how short, had greatly relaxed him. He and Hans had gone to a bathhouse and soaked in the steaming water for hours, relaxing their muscles as professional cleaners washed their armor and clothes. Then, as twilight threatened, they returned to the portal area and paid an exorbitant 10 silver for a return trip, a sobering reminder that they only got to leave their home for free.
Ow, my wallet, Hans whined as they made their way through the portal.
Dale dropped to the ground, dry-heaving again, but not as violently as the first time.
Ow! My body! He whined, making Hans laugh as Dale made fun of him. You've got to close your eyes again, I see. Hans pulled Dale to his feet and looked up at the camp swarming with unfamiliar faces and sounds.
One area seemed far more energetic than the rest, so they moved to take a look at what was going on. Hans got closer. Then they saw a duo of men being escorted to the portal by none other than Guildmaster Frank. One of the men, maybe in his mid-20s, was holding a gigantic warhammer. Both were being followed by 2 men carrying small but heavy chests.
"What's going on, do you think?" Dale murmured to Hans.
Hans shrugged
and they followed the men to the portal, where they vanished after a brief talk with the portal attendant. He waved down Frank as he walked back, and wondered aloud about what was going on.
"Oh, you haven't heard then?"
Frank raised his eyebrow in surprise.
"You must have just gotten back."
"Heard what? We took the evening off and went to the pleasure house for dinner."
Hans prodded him. Frank looked shocked.
"Without me? Fine, see if you get a bonus this year. What you just saw was the first group to complete the dungeon, besides yours, of course."
Dale was perplexed.
"Just the two of them?"
"Well, those were the survivors. They were non-guild and ignored the recommendation that it was a D-ranked minimum,"
Frank told him a bit sadly. Hans winced.
"Five-man team to start?"
Frank nodded, and Hans shook his head empathetically. "Why are they leaving? Did they just give up after their friends died?" Dale inferred.
"Well, one of them did. The Hammer Man is coming back, if he can find anyone to team up with anyway. Activated that Warhammer when it was dropped by the boss, and took a swing in petty revenge. That rock-covered rabbit shattered, and a shard killed one of his wounded teammates. Most people don't see it as an accident, but as an idiot with a stupidly powerful weapon."
Frank shook his head at the foolishness.
"Oh, wow," Dale commiserated with the poor man.
Hans' mind went on a different route.
"Is he thinking of selling that hammer off?"
Greed was lighting his eyes. Frank grimaced at the typical behavior.
"No, it bound to him when he activated it. The spotters say the binding and the activation are in the same spot. That hammer is his till he dies. They did get two other inscribed items and some loose gold, which will make you very happy, Dale."
"Why? What?"
Dale looked at him confusedly.
"Three people died. I'm not happy. I'm not a bad guy. Why does everyone seem to think I'm an asshole?"
I'm thinking there is something going on that I don't know about."
Frank seemed a bit confused himself.
"Not what I was talking about, though. Remember how you make a portion of everything that is made? Even the 3% you made off just those two items paid off more than half the debt for your armor. Combine that with the open portal and your personal dungeon dives, I'm betting you will be paid off in a month. Less if more people complete the dungeon,"
Frank stated cheerfully.
"What? They must have been worth thousands of gold then."
Dale was flabbergasted.
"They certainly were. One of them was a boot that repelled all liquids, and with the new acid traps, it sold at auction for nearly 1,500 gold,"
Frank cheerfully told him.
Was it Josh's boot that Rail, the mob boss, took off?"
Hans's eyes bulged as he tried to hold back a deep laugh.
"Ha! It was! The size is different, though,"
Frank crowed, slapping his knee as he laughed.
"He's gonna be so pissed!"
Dale wanted to know what the other item was, so Frank told him about the unique sword that had been found, while Hans's jaw dropped lower and lower.
"It holds a charge?"
Hans finally exploded.
"Why would you not wait for me to get back here before you sold it?"
"You know how these things go. Sell it for the best price or put it up for extended auction. They heard a good price and chose to sell."
Frank's grin told Dale he was happy to have had less competition.
"You bought it. I knew it."
Hans was furious.
"You have to give me a chance to buy it."
"Nah,"
Frank allowed, very blasé about the situation. He spun on his heel and ran.
"What do you mean, nah?"
Hans roared, running off after him. Dale looked at the portal, thinking of the loss that group must be feeling. He hoped the gold they had earned would help them through. Now it was time to get some rest. He had a long day of monster hunting tomorrow. Maybe he could get some new items. Dale's group was just walking into the dungeon. The first thing they did each day was clear the first room completely, to make sure there was no issue for the miners who came in to collect iron each day.
Dale was still in constant wonder that no matter how much iron they tore out each day, the walls were unblemished in the morning, promising a good, easy mining operation.
"How is the city?" Steve casually questioned, kicking a shroomish as it tried to chomp his foot. It disintegrated in a puff of spores from the casual blow.
"It was amazing. Did you know they have mages building a sewer system there? I wonder if we could do something like that here," Dale wonderingly put forward. The others stopped and looked at him strangely. He wasn't sure why Hans was laughing at him so hard he couldn't breathe.
"Are they not building it?
Hans, what the hell?"
"All of the wonders of the capital, and you are most excited about the sewers. Nothing else caught your attention," Steve interrogated him levelly. "You need to go places without Hans. His politics will ruin your day."
"We had fun. We did other things, too. He brought me to a pleasure house," Dale chattered indignantly.
"He did what?"
Craig gasped, turning and glaring at the man.
"Not like that,"
Hans tried to explain, glares directed at him. Dale continued talking over them.
"I met a madam. She gave us a discount because we went to her together, and she thinks her granddaughter would like to come train here."
"Hans, you disgusting pervert," Josh coldly stated. "How could you do that to the lad? You went together? At the same time? With a grandmother?"
"Well, how else do you do it? Who wants to do that alone?"
Dale sounded a bit exasperated at the questions. Hans was literally on the floor crying with laughter as he tried to hold up his hands in surrender.
"No, guys. Guys.
We went to the pleasure house, the one Madame owns. He doesn't know what this sounds like. The restaurant."
He could say nothing else as he gasped for air around his laughter. The others started chuckling, then laughing almost as hard as Hans. The look of confusion on Dale's face made them laugh even harder.
"What? What's going on?" Dale demanded. "I've never been off these mountains. Come on! What's the joke?"
They regained their feet and started walking, ignoring his angry questions and laughing as they went further in, some patting their naive companion on the back and shoulders as they walked. Working quickly, they cleared several rooms, constantly making their way toward the boss room. A splashing sound garnered their interest. But before they were able to discern the location of the bubbling liquid, the new boss squad was attacking them. 22.
"I made some improvements to that boss room," I informed Danny.
"Oh yeah? Added some traps or something?"
Danny managed to tear her gaze away from the impending battle.
That would have been better, wouldn't it? No, but watch this."
The boss squad was in full attack mode, but the impaler ran straight at the wall, which opened enough to allow him into a small tunnel that ran along the room. It had loops in it that would grant a full-speed sprint into the main room, hopefully taking people by surprise from an unexpected direction. One of the two small rock-covered smashers went directly for Josh, who braced himself with a grin and held out his shiny new tower shield. At the last moment, he thrust it forward. Clang! Snap! The smasher's neck broke with an organic tearing sound, his spine protruding from just below the base of his skull.
"Yes! It's so much better than my last one!" Josh roared in celebration.
"What does that one do again?" I worriedly queried Danny. She answered pensively.
"It returns part of the momentum of the attack back on the attacker, doesn't it? That heavy charge had a lot of power in it, I think."
The infernally enhanced impaler chose that moment to erupt from a tunnel opening behind Steve just then, landing a successful sneak attack. His sharpened horn burst through the thick leather armor just below Steve's kidney, the angle of the horn opening his spleen as it punched through his front. A pained gasp is all the sound the man could muster as he fell to his knees. The Impaler lived up to his name well. Setting its paws on Steve's back, it pushed backward, adding more damage to the ravaged body it was standing on. Not yet out of the fight, Steve whipped around and crushed the skull of the offending Impaler with his bare hands. He then pulled the last bit of horn from his body with a soft grunt before casually sitting down. Dale shot forward and caught an oppressor with a swing, snapping its spine. Craig moved in a blur of motion, killing the two remaining mobs as Hans ran to help Steve.
"You're gonna be all right. Don't you worry about a thing."
Hans held his hands against the gushing wound.
"We're 10 minutes from the most powerful healer you'll ever need."
He scooped Steve up easily, keeping pressure on the wound with his arm as he lifted from the ground.
"Well, I didn't open all those meridians so I could dance," Steve sputtered, blood mid-sentence. "I'll be fine. I've had worse when I was caught with that noble girl, remember?"
He gurgled a bloody chuckle.
"Well, that's for the best, because I have to tell you, you got 2 left feet.
Hans quipped, starting for the exit.
"Plus, you are too good for a backwater noble family anyway."
Dale caught their attention. "Wait! Look! This is pouring out a health potion!" I focused on Danny for a second. "Did we poison that one?"
"No,"
she crushed my hopes.
"We wanted to get people used to the idea of a healing fountain in here."
"Dang it! Of all the frickin' people who could have needed it first!"
Dale pulled out a flask and dunked it into the churning cistern, which had a fountain flowing into it. I had decided on that design. I wanted both function and form. I'm a sucker for pampering myself. Dale moved over to his friend who was bleeding out, helping him drink as much as he could. Craig then instructed Dale to pour the potion directly onto the wound. Then they watched anxiously as it swiftly closed. The hanging scraps of meat pulled together into working tissue. The blood vessels flowed back together, and the ruined nerves returned to a working system. The potion was high quality, as was everything I gave out. The potion did more than the eye could see, stimulating bone marrow to produce blood cells and fluids, mimicking proteins for growth, but still a scar would remain. The healing process took a lot of energy, usually provided by the person doing the healing. Since a potion didn't bring in much extra energy, I was certain Steve would be very hungry soon. He would have to eat to replenish his system. Hopefully he would starve soon enough that he would become distracted, and I could eat him. Crisis averted. They sat to cultivate as Danny informed me that the first of the gems had been found. So I took a look. Yep. People were going nuts over the small chunks of emeralds they found. I would keep it interesting. There was also ruby, lapis, and, really rarely, diamonds. Each of these were in a little hollow between layers of iron and stone that people would naturally come upon while mining if they worked hard enough. In these hollows, there was also... The mining man's voice cut off as an uncovered bane fired a poisonous thorn into his shouting mouth, the lucky shot going through the roof of his mouth into his brain.
Yes! I just got my first pickaxe! I had really been wanting one of these. Danny, the trap mobs in the wall actually worked!
A rush of essence made its way to me, filling me with a sense of well-being.
Ah, that's the stuff.
A thought occurred to me then. Maybe I hadn't had it before because I was a lower ranking, but at D rank 3, perhaps I was more empathetic? Danny? I felt oddly detached. When a person dies in here, do I eat their soul? The thought of even passive necromancy like that was disturbing to me.
What? No!
Danny was shocked, making me feel instant gratitude that she understood my concern.
Souls are terrifyingly powerful, especially when freshly dead. When a being dies, they release a burst of energy which separates their bodies and souls. That is the rush of essence you get access to.
Oh, thank goodness. Sorry, I never thought of it before. Wait, I was a human, wasn't I? How was I captured then?
I realized she may just be trying to calm me.
Honestly, I have no idea. It must have been a specially prepared stone made by someone so powerful I cannot even comprehend it. It would need to be an S-ranked necromancer, at least. I have never heard of a necromancer becoming that powerful, though.
Danny mused.
They are always killed. Well...
Well what? I growled. I needed to know anything she did.
Well, necromantic cultivation isn't actually illegal. It just has a really bad reputation. The main way they get more powerful is by absorbing the burst of necromantic energy that results from something dying, similar to what you do.
She trailed off.
And this is important?
Well, necromancers get killed because they obtain more energy when strong emotions are passing through the person at the time of death. So, most quickly delve into torture and murder and other illegal things.
She whispered.
If they didn't get caught doing that, though, they wouldn't even be in trouble. Though demon summoning, a branch of necromancy, is illegal everywhere.
She finished in a rush, as if that tidbit would appease me. I sighed, a neat trick without lungs.
Okay, so maybe I am too hasty in my judgment. Maybe I just hate murderous, evil necromancers?
That's the spirit!
She enthused.
Uh-huh.
Bad. Shame on you for that terrible pun, I admonished her, though I was smiling on the inside.
Then what is the deal with necromancy? What do those cultivators do besides kill people?
The most common thing is to raise the dead. That isn't, well, the act itself isn't illegal, but some places will really dislike it, for obvious reasons.
Walking dead guys? Yeah, I can see that, I quipped.
Pretty much. People really don't like desecration of their loved ones. Now, while the reanimated creature has to do what the summoner wants, the summoned creature is always, always insane.
She shuddered and cuddled up to me.
Why is that? I was really curious now.
The only souls that are able to be summoned are those that have run from the Creator's judgment. They fear the void, the nothingness that awaits them, or the abyss, which is terrible for other reasons. They wander the earth and can never stop moving. They can never sleep, never taste, never feel. By the time they feel a summoning, they are jealous of the living and will do anything to kill them, to absorb the energy of their death.
She sounded close to weeping. That sounds like a horrible existence. Is that what makes them so dangerous? I was morbidly curious.
No. The average undead isn't that smart. They will take the most direct route for anything. They have no forethought anymore. They aren't used to having a corporeal form. The really dangerous ones are actually the demons.
She fearfully let me know.
They are confused for undead because they need to inhabit a corpse in order to have a corporeal form, but they are actually incredibly intelligent and horrifically cunning. There is a rumor that they hate the one who summons them, and if given a chance, would kill their master. Wrong. They cheerfully obey their summoner, doing everything they can to keep them alive and happy. You see, if their master dies, the demons are yanked back into the abyss. If a necromancer were a good person, they would be nearly the best at almost any profession. Working with dead things is the domain of those with the infernal affinity. Since humans and other sentient things are made of all the different essences, as they get stronger, they discover that they can use their lesser affinities to augment themselves.
She told me in a puzzling manner. Seeing my confusion, she continued.
Take Dale, for instance.
She made me look at the cultivating group.
He has a major earth affinity. In the C rankings, he may find that he has a minor affinity with fire essence as well, making him a magma cultivator. Fire and water? Steam cultivator. Each distinct affinity he is able to use and cultivate from will give him better options and make him more likely to ascend into the B rankings.
So humans can use all of the affinities? Why does he only cultivate from earth, then?
I had been wondering why most of them only pulled from one source at a time.
The best affinity they have will allow them to get the purest essence as fast as possible. The older ones who know the truth, that they could pull from all sources if they found a way to unblock themselves, hide this fact because it can lead to really corrupted essence in a hurry.
She informed me with a small smile. Well, that makes sense, I suppose. Back up a bit, though. Why would a necromancer be good at most professions? I had realized she'd glossed over that.
Oh, well, think of it like this. A blacksmith who imbues essence into his work to make it better is a magma cultivator, usually the case anyway. If he had infernal and earth as his affinities, he or she would not even need a flame to shape the dead earth into the form they wanted. Also, they would instinctively know the best way to make a weapon to produce the deadliest version that it could become.
I got a chill as I thought of the implications and possible uses. Does that hold true for all of the combinations? I wondered aloud.
Not always. It will rely on personal skill, but typically necromantic cultivators can reverse the knowledge of how to destroy things into a foundation to making things better. If they are smart, they could be some of the best in the world, but killing is so much easier than the slow route they would need to take. They can't cultivate like other humans, with meditation and pulling from elements, neither can celestial mages, so their growth is very slow usually.
She ended her tale as Dale's group began to move again. This was my chance to get them, so I decided to take time to ponder Danny's words as the day continued. Dale now led the way, calling out stress points and possible traps with far more accuracy than he had started with a few weeks ago. With a start, I realized that those stress points were like irritants to me. When the group was further along the tunnel, I would smooth those points, which felt really good, like a muscle relaxant must to a human. I should listen to their conversations more often, I chided myself. I tried so hard to trick them into dying, but they avoided all of my ambushes so skillfully I felt they were playing with me. I had a bit of luck when they were crossing the bridge, some acid getting onto the cloth surrounding Craig's hand. He lost a little skin, but had the cloth off himself very quickly. It splashed into the acid pool with a hiss, and the information it contained came to me. I realized that it was very interesting stuff, but I would need to work through it slowly. I had never seen such a small item so intricately inscribed with runes. They kept coming, falling for the light fountain room, going well out of their way. They walked in and looked confused, until Steve recognized what the shimmering liquid was, convincing everyone to use any open flask to contain some of the potion. Having filled most of their flasks earlier with the healing potion, only a few were available for this shining fluid. Somehow, the light in the room must have distracted them from the rune script on the ground around the shining cistern. To their dismay, as they walked away, all of their shoes, boots, and foot wraps degenerated into piles of scraps.
Heh. Barefoot adventurers.
They corrected their mistaken route, making it into the boss room. I was looking for the best route of attack when I heard the big one, Josh, mention something rather concerning.
Did you hear about the new quest? Apparently there is a mob in here we haven't seen before. A gold-colored one that healed the boss yesterday. Huge reward for the first one caught, double if it is alive. Also something about a wisp, but I haven't seen anything like that here.
Oh? Well, let's find it. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Hans earned himself some booing from the group of barefoot individuals.
They were in for a surprise today.
The crowd above was cheering again, placing bets and preparing for the battle.
Well, let's see if I can't make them lose some money.
I had made a tunnel around the room that opened up several feet above head level, and only the thundering of stone and the cries of surprise from above made the small group look up as Rail dropped toward them from on high. They scattered in time, blast it, but were now isolated and off balance. Rail nudged Hans as he charged Josh, sending the first spinning and catching a barely prepared Josh's shield. The rune worked overtime, small chunks of Rail's armor crumbled into powder and cracked. My curiosity was satisfied as Josh still went flying.
During the distraction provided by the flying man, Rail charged the weak link, Dale.
"Come on, you overgrown rabbit! I've been practicing!"
Dale turned and ran.
"What the... he's running?"
Danny softly chuckled into my head.
"Maybe he's been practicing his cardio?"
"Huh?"
"His running ability."
She uttered something condescending under her breath about my lack of vocabulary.
"No matter. Rail has him now."
I watched proudly as Dale reached the wall just before Rail did. Rail pounced at him from a charge, ready to do maximum damage as Dale dropped to his back and slid into the wall, pushing off at an odd angle to maintain momentum. Rail smashed into the wall full speed, stunning himself and dropping to the ground where Dale no longer was. Pushing off the wall had moved him just enough.
"You know, this kid is really starting to frustrate me,"
I grunted as the group's blunt weapons broke through the armor over Rail's head and killed him.
"I think you're starting to like him. You've always liked a challenge."
Danny laughed at my long-suffering moan.
"Well, I won't fall for that again. I'm going to give them weird loot, too. I've been working on these."
I dropped a pair of boots for each of them. They cheered until they saw they were all left-footed.
Heh.
I dropped a pickaxe and a right-footed armored boot with the same force-enhancing rune as the warhammer I had dropped yesterday, and a dagger with the inverted form of the rune that had been on the demonologist dagger Dale had killed Rail with. I had studied it. Turned out that the original dagger would pull the essence out of its victims until it had enough to summon a powerful demon under the wielder's control. The effect of the dagger they had now, I was unsure of. Maybe it would summon an angel? I'm sure I would find out eventually. After brief discussion, they agreed to sell the pickaxe and share the profits, though they cast lots for the inscribed boot. I'm fairly certain Hans cheated, while Dale fairly won the dagger, but decided to get it checked by a spotter before he decided to use it or sell it. Hans had no such compunctions, putting on his ill-gained boot and strutting around in mismatched footwear. With a look of glee on his face, he jumped and stomped down, activating the rune.
Wham!
A shockwave knocked Hans to the shattered floor, laughing all the while.
"Ooh, look at that. Left a footprint an inch deep in solid granite. I have so many plans for this."
Hans whooped as he prepared to stomp again.
"Maybe you do that in an open area next time," Steve called sourly, holding ringing ears and wiping rock dust off himself.
The others nodded their assent.
"What?"
Hans replied, pawing at his ears.
"Exactly," Steve loudly stated. "Let's go. I still want to see a healer for my back. And my ears now. Then lunch. I'm starving."
They climbed the staircase, allowing not very bright people to, again, push past them at the top. The newcomers had decided to ignore the warnings, it seemed.
Yum. There was no other group close to the second floor boss room, though the first boss room had been cleared while I wasn't focused, it seems.
I fixed my floor. Really, smashing up my floor wasn't the way to entice me to give good items again.
Oh, by the way, Danny, I'm quickly going to look at the hand wrapping that fell off of Craig. It was stuffed full of inscriptions and was really full of essence. Let me know if anyone comes in,
I nearly whispered, my mind going over the patterns and layouts that had originally seemed to be a simple hand wrapping.
What? Oh, fine. I'll let you know if anyone makes it in here,
Danny grumbled.
Now I'm a watchdog.
Meanwhile, I was astounded. These were definitely runes, but they were so strong. Only one of them I felt confident I could use without destroying something, and none of these were runes I would give out for defeating the relatively weak mobs in my dungeon. This is coming from me, the one who happily gave out an enchantment on a hammer that could be used to blast open a mountain pass. I focused in on the one rune I would feel safe using. It looked exactly like a smaller version of the fractal of energy surrounding my key spiral. I compared the two in my mind. The inscription had a slightly different curve in a few places that was odd to me, as it forced the pattern to be non-symmetrical. Was this a rune for absorbing essence? I had to find out. In a dead-end room on my second floor, as far away from my core as possible, was where I experimented with unknown runes. I lovingly thought of it as the horrible failure with a few successes room. Long name, amazing results. Over time, if I had been unable to repair the stone in here, there would only be a smoking, simmering room full of molten rock and odd noises. It seems that poorly made runes tended to explode.
Who knew, right? That was one of the nicer effects.
The runes that I used corruption with that also turned out to be badly made runes had more interesting effects. An air rune I had drawn on a rock allowed it to scream, which it did constantly. Luckily, a rune exploding underneath it had interrupted the flow of energy to the screaming rock, making it go silent again.
Of course, now I wondered if rocks were alive.
Danny told me I was being ridiculous, but screaming rocks didn't seem to worry her much. As a rock-like being, I felt for the poor little guy. A multi-essence rune that I tried to make had convinced me not to try combining corruption again until I knew what I was doing. It had created a rift, which used all of the essence so fast that I was angry at first. The rift snapped shut after only the blink of an eye, but the rotten clawed hand that had made it through in that time span was a testament to the continuation of working freaking carefully. Definitely had opened a rift into the abyss there. I really didn't want to be responsible for allowing unbound demons onto our plane of existence. It did teach me to give the runes very little power when I first activated them, at least until I was sure of their capabilities. I digress. I wanted to see if this new rune was used to accumulate essence. I very carefully recreated the rune to the molecular level, double and triple checking it to ensure that it was exactly the same as the one I had taken from Craig. I prepared myself to activate it, but was interrupted when Danny informed me that people had entered the boss room.
Now? Dang! I was just about to activate that new rune. How long was I working on that?
I dazedly looked at Danny.
You were focused for about 3 hours. This is the sixth group that has come down to the second level. All the other ones got injured or turned around for some other reason,
reported General Danny.
Yes, ma'am.
I tried to match an accent I had heard.
Preparations are complete, ready for battle.
Why did I have to be bonded with a weirdo?
Danny muttered.
I'm hurt.
Quiet down, here they come.
They can't hear me if I don't want them to, I bragged. Not my fault you have to make sounds to be heard.
A head poked around the corner of the tunnel.
Hey, we made it!
Told you we would. Quiet down now. I want to have surprise on our side,
a deep voice admonished.
Fat chance of that happening.
You have the net? Remember not to kill the boss too fast.
Oh boy, this group was cocky. I would soon show them the error of their ways.
It's always wandering around, so group up and make sure to stay light on your feet. We know that one group in the morning plays up how hard it is to kill that beast. If that F-ranked group made it, we should have no trouble. Watch out for the giant bunny boys. It might still actually be able to do some real damage,
Mr. Deep Voice sneeringly preached.
Get ready. Go, go, go!
The 5-person group ran in, weapons ready, but stopped and looked around confusedly when there was no apparent enemy to fight.
Oh. They must have been in the dungeon when I revealed the overhead ambush it could use now.
Screams were coming down from the gathered crowd, but they ignored them, thinking it was the cheering that usually happened. I took the opportunity to look at them all carefully. They were all in the low D ranks, the highest being Mr. Deep Voice at D rank 2, several ranks higher than my F rank 9 rail. The sounds above rising to a crescendo suddenly, the deep-voiced man looked up, and with a startled yell, dove to the side in time to miss dying, but not fast enough to get away from the wave of blood that washed over him and the remaining members. Most of them took some damage, even if it was just from human teeth pinging off exposed flesh.
Where did it come from? Bobby, no!
Their party in disarray. I expected a quick finish to the fight, but the leader rallied them, and they fell into position with the speed of much practice. Shock turning to anger, they charged Rael as a unit. A first for me, I am pretty sure. I tried to leap at them, but two shield-bearers bashed Rael simultaneously, hard enough to make his movement falter as the remaining two attacked the weak points in his armor, the joints on his legs. A few repeated blows were enough to force the joint into facing the wrong direction. Rael keened as both legs on his right side were broken.
"Move back!"
came the order, followed by the group smoothly retreating from the prone body in front of them. I was shocked. I knew that teamwork was effective, which is why I had made the squads, but this was at a level I had not been expecting. Even Dale's group had more trouble than this. Now I could see that it was because they were forcing Dale to fight and get experience, else they could have likely walked through here without issue.
Get ready. It happens when he is hurt like this.
I was confused for a second, until I saw a glitter flit sprinting toward the downed Rael. Oh no! I gasped, though only Danny heard. The speed of the glitter flit allowed him to avoid the hastily swung weapons, but it had to slow down to heal Rael. The healing energy dissipated into Rael as a net collapsed around the squirming golden bunny.
Got it! A voice laughed. Piece of cake!
He poked the gold rabbit with a sword he was holding, which, as it turns out, was a very serious mistake. The now-healed Rael had just gotten to his feet when the soft cry of pain from the glitter flit drew his attention. Rael's pupils dilated as his long-dormant ability awoke for the first time. The armor fell off of his body everywhere but his head, which shoved obsidian-sharp fragments of granite upward to create a deadly crown. The ability Avenger flashed in my mind as I analyzed this unexpected change. I was finally going to see it in action! The previously ponderous yet deadly Rael moved, faster than I had thought was possible. His armored head impacted the chest of the man holding the net with the force of a battering ram constructed by giants. The spikes tore the poor man's armor apart like it did not exist, leaving a gaping hole in his abdomen. The force of the charge carried the man under Rael's power into the wall, where he slowly slid down to the floor, quickly decomposing into goo. Under my influence now. The glitter flit was still caught in the net, but it had been dropped on the ground. The D-rank 2 man barreled toward Rael, his sword easily piercing Rael's unarmored flesh with a soft sound, like a tomato being chopped. Rael fell quickly, still savaging what little remained of the dead man, until he too succumbed to death's embrace. The completely shaken men gathered the net, glitter flit, and the loot that I dropped, including a ring with a weak inverted rune of liquid repulsion, then made their way to the surface. 23. Dale was excited as they waited outside the spotter's den. He would have called it their tent, but he had gotten a look inside the filthy, cluttered area and could only consider it an animal's living space.
What do you think it does? He asked excitedly, shifting from one foot to the other. Maybe it lets you stab things as far away as an arrow can fly.
Hans replied, stepping harder than he needed to make the earth bounce around them.
Looked a lot like that demonologist dagger we lost in there.
That rune looked completely different, Dale proclaimed. I get to keep this one.
Hans scratched under his armpit, sniffing at the result, before answering.
Nah. Looked like the same rune, just backward. Probably the inversed rune.
Correct! You know your rune script! Are you looking to become a spotter when you grow up?
A cheerful voice assailed them. The spotter had poked his head out and was offering the dagger back to Dale.
Hell no, Hans blithely stated.
Exasperation on his face, the spotter wisely started to ignore Hans.
Well, This is a surprise for us, just so you know.
His face brightened as he talked to Dale.
Normally, we charge a few gold per service, but the fee is waived as we had never seen this inscription before. So, since we get 2 runes out of it for our books, we will also give you